And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Weenie how. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Bonjourno. Sawadikarap. Guten Tag. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Peace. How? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation in the one-party post-constitutional bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And happy Labor Day weekend to you. Although, it's kind of an oxymoron, huh? Isn't it happy labor? Huh? Isn't it like compassionate conservatism or jumbo shrimp or military intelligence or any intelligence in our governmentment right at the moment whatsoever? If labor were happy, we'd be doing it as part of the holiday celebration. But instead, we take time off and run from it. And that's understandable. You know, people need a little time away from their busy jobs. You know, U.S. senators need a little time to get away, to hang out in airport bathroom stalls, you know, to take some time off and, you know, just let it all hang out, to fully live that life of hypocrisy that we've come to expect from our fearless misleaders. And who's the latest dude in the long line to show true colors? Well, it is Larry Craig, as you've been hearing, a very big pro-meat guy, you know, is just about, you know, macho, red-blooded American, you know, and how manly it is to eat a cow, huh? Holy cow, I wonder how many of these macho dudes are, you know, from everything they say, and, you know, they always say the opposite of what they mean, you know, Craig in the past, it says on Larry Craig's website, it's no secret that livestock operations providing the high-quality meat, egg, and dairy products you and I consume every day have become larger in order to remain profitable. So, actually, he admits to that terrible behavior, you know, right on his website, that he actually eats meat, eggs, and dairy. So I'm wondering, is he a closet vegan? No, don't even think that about him, Bobby. You know, they'd rather be known for, you know, well, they'd rather not be known for hanging out in bathroom stalls, but Larry Craig, well, he's known, well, he's a rancher, you know, he's oversees agricultural funding. He's on the board of directors of the National Rifle Association, and he always he's been quoted he's referred to as a stalwart against environmental extremism, actually he had, you know, the scorecard that the Humane Society of the United States puts out on legislative members. The Humane Society scorecard gives him out of a possible 100, he gets a 0. So, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be known. Well, maybe he's proud of that, huh? You know, and he hangs out in the bathroom stalls, and if he had listened to this show, see, he's so macho NRA, I'm sure he's not listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden on Air America, but had he listened to this show, he might have been able to come up with a really good excuse, because, well, after all,
vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
So that could have explained his frequent trips to the bathroom stall, but in terms of, well, how much time he spent in there, well, meat makes you constipated, huh? And I don't know what to say other than, you know, that could have been his excuse, you know, for spending so much time in there. I don't know. I guess he couldn't claim to be a vegan there after all. You know, who knows what happens now with Larry Craig. You know, conservative groups are asking him to resign. If you look at his website there, he's... anyway, I believe that, you know, he has his apology on the website, and there he is, you know, looking there on his website. You see a picture of him holding Dick Cheney's hand, and I don't know. I guess Larry will be probably, you know, having that excuse that everybody has. He'll be going to, you know, resign and maybe spend more time with his family or his family business. And you know, he does have a chain of retail outlets in Idaho. It's Larry Craig's Hair Salon and AK-47 Sales Boutique. Those in Idaho. Now, I'm not just saying all of this because.
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Well, you know, I'm just saying it because, well, Larry Craig deserves some time off right now, and so do some people who really deserve serious time off from the most dangerous job in America. And what would that job be? It is slaughterhouse working. Slaughterhouses and animal processing plants are among the most dangerous places to work in America today. According to statistics from the U.S. Department of Labor, nearly one in three slaughterhouse workers suffers from illness or injury, compared to one in 10 workers in other manufacturing jobs. Slaughterhouse workers are also 35 times more likely to suffer from repetitive stress injuries than their counterparts in other manufacturing jobs. The rate of injury to slaughterhouse workers is most likely even higher than the official numbers, because many workers have trouble communicating with human resources staff and plant management, and often they don't want to report their injuries because they get fired as a result. Let's see here. At the GoVeg.com website, it says the workers who kill animals are at constant risk of being hurt as the animals fight for their lives. Chickens and turkeys peck and struggle to escape. One researcher in a slaughterhouse reports that as chickens are being hung by their legs to be killed, the birds, weighing approximately 5 pounds each, fight back by pecking and biting and scratching the hangers. Then as workers finally hoist the birds onto the hooks, the chickens urinate and defecate out of desperation, often hitting the workers below. And many cows and pigs are still completely conscious when they're hung by their hind legs and their throats are slit. You know, they kick too, and they thrash, and they defecate and vomit as they die. Killing animals who do not want to die is inherently dangerous work, but the ever-increasing line speeds, the repetitive motions, the filthy working conditions, and other hazards mean that employees are putting their lives on the line every time they clock into their job. And it's extremely hazardous work. What does it say here? Look at these boxes. Everybody's on top of each other, so a lot of people get cut, especially their hands. Blood and flesh fall into the meat. The birds just keep on going by. It's a fast-paced environment. Let's see, what does it say here? It talks about everyday hazards that the slaughterhouse workers have to face. They also risk being infected with dangerous animal-borne diseases and bacteria, including E. coli, Listeria, and Campylobacter. Animals raised for food are intensively combined on disease-ridden factory farms, and by the time they reach the slaughterhouse, many are suffering from pneumonia and other chronic diseases. One slaughterhouse worker said, "I'm sick at work with a cold and breathing problems all the time. I have red rashes on my arms and hands, and the skin between my fingers is dry and cracked. I think I have an allergic reaction to hogs, but I'm afraid to say anything about this because I'm afraid they'll fire me." It's a constant. The rate of repetitive stress injury is very threatening to the workers. One worker said, "In 2002, I slipped on the remnants on the floor. I could hardly walk. The company doctor told me I was okay. Go back to work." The company fired me for missing time for the injury. And then slaughterhouse workers exploit immigrants. Training for slaughterhouse workers often consists of little more than watching a video, and a lot of the workers don't speak English, and they don't get the training on the equipment that they have there. So it's really sad on this Labor Day. Oh, gosh, we're down to 1 minute already. Time flies when we are discussing such important issues. And also the slaughterhouses are known to bust unions and don't let workers organize. Well, today we celebrate at least The Summer of Love, okay? We're going to have Stephen Gaskin on from 40 years ago, San Francisco hippie who went on to lead a caravan and formed a vegan community in Tennessee called The Farm. He's coming up on today's program. Also, please, we have to oppose SB 880. We can't let Schwarzenegger sign it to kill the kangaroos. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please support this show with a tax-deductible donation, which I would greatly appreciate. Go to the website, GoVeganRadio.org. We have to pay for the time for production and distribution, $200,000 a year. I need your help. Thanks for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Elephants don't belong in zoos. Please let them go to a sanctuary.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Ah, this music takes us back to the Summer of Love. Coming up in just a few minutes on today's program, Stephen Gaskin, who was an integral figure at that time, the hippie movement and starting the farm in Tennessee. We'll hear all about it today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden in just a little bit. And, you know, don't think that I just pick on Republicans on this program and the Republican National Party, because, you know, we have the horrible SB 880 that's being pushed by Democrats in California. You know, I'm almost starting to think, you know how we name the stadia around the country, like in San Francisco, it's AT&T Stadium, you know, Achtung and Tung Stadium. We use all these corporate names, and I'm almost ready to start, you know, naming corruptions with the companies that represent them. And in this case, Adidas, you know, it's like California Adidas State Senator Calderon and California or Assembly Member Calderon. I don't know. It's we should just put corporate names in front of all of them. And, you know, I wonder about politicians anyway. You know, I mean, look what was written about in the Boston Globe about Senator Edwards, huh? John Edwards, responding to a question at a bookstore, said he has never heard of PETA. He's never heard of PETA. Can you believe it? And he said, well, I can honestly say I've never heard of PETA, and they don't want people to eat meat? Well, I'm not in favor of that. So, Senator Edwards, please, please, please learn of the connection of meat and dairy and breast cancer. Go to PCRM.org. I mean, please. And somebody running for president who's never heard of PETA? That's it's quite amazing, you know? It's like, well, I had a sheltered life. My father worked in the mail. He worked in the mail. That's all I hear from him is, okay. Anyway, but I'm not here. I don't endorse candidates. No, you can choose whomever you like to have your vote not counted for, you know? So anyway, Animal News and Views on Go Vegan with Bob Linden and sponsored by Last Chance for Animals, lcanimal.org. Check out the website. People who have done undercover investigations into animal fighting. And, you know, I wonder with bills like SB 880 how, you know, Michael Vick, as despicable as his behavior is, I mean, he does it, you know, I guess he was too directly involved. When you're in a legislature and you can sign bills that kill animals, you know, as long as you have a suit and tie on, and yet people in the California legislature, and if Schwarzenegger signs SB 880, the kangaroo killing bill that will overturn three decades of protections for kangaroos in California and allow Adidas to sell kangaroo soccer cleats. That's what it's all about. And we have a kangaroo democratic, well, an anti-kangaroo We have an Adidas Democratic Party, the Adidas Democratic Party of California. Anyway, so please get in touch with Schwarzenegger and prevent SB 880 from turning into law. I mean, to the animals, the whole, whoever votes for it is like a Michael Vick, right? I mean, this will account for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of deaths of animals. So how is that any better than Michael Vick's behavior? I don't know. California Fish and Game Commissioners signaled Monday that they are leaning toward enacting a ban on lead ammunition in deer hunting zones within the range of the 70 condors now flying free in the state of California. And this comes from the Ventura County Star. So it looks like they're trying to push on with this. And you know, the condors eat animals who have been shot, and they ingest the lead from the bullets. And so it looks like at least California Fish and Game Commissioners are trying to move toward that. And what did they say here? 2 minutes, okay. Legislation to enact such a ban is pending in the state Senate, but officials from the Department of Fish and Game assert if such action is to be taken, it should be in the form of regulations adopted by the commission. And Assembly Member Pedro Nava of Santa Barbara, the author of AB 821, which you should support, animal advocates say, to ban the lead ammunition, has said he intends to continue to push for legislation because the commission has been too slow to respond in the past. So I think that the public comment period is on now, so get in touch with the commission. Cat thyroid disease linked to chemicals. EPA scientists zero in on flame retardants in some home products and pet food. So an epidemic of thyroid disease among pet cats could be caused by toxic flame retardants that are widely found in household dust and some pet food. Government scientists reported the often lethal disease was rare in cats until the 1980s, and now it's becoming epidemic in cats and in people from electronic equipment. Basically, that's a lot of what this is about. Gosh, time flies. Let me see here what else I can get to. The European Union Commission is currently revising the law known as Directive 86609 that governs animal experiments across Europe. And 10 million animals are used in research every year. There are some opportunities now to ban the use of primates. So if you're in Europe, have friends in Europe. For further information, I would say go to BUAV.org. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Thanks for listening. Go to GoVeganRadio.com.
Elephants don't belong in zoos. Please let them go to a sanctuary. And that means Maggie in Alaska, too. On animals, what a waste of their lives and your money.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, nature's way of telling you something's wrong. If we're eating meat, we are destroying nature, global warming, deforestation, you name it, resource depletion, all associated with meat eating. And you don't have to eat meat. You can, I mean, for centuries, Buddhist monks have worked at replicating the tastes and textures of meat. And totally delicious and totally vegan, why not go to Vegetable Delight in Granada Hills and really experience what fabulous vegan food is? Vegetable Delight is at 17823 Chatsworth Street in Granada Hills. The phone number is 818-360-3997. A wonderful write-up in the Los Angeles Times reviewing the food at Vegetable Delight. I go there, I get the fish and brown sauce, I get the sweet and sour pork, I get the shrimp appetizer, and I get no meat, no animal products, because it's all vegan. So that's Vegetable Delight, 17823 Chatsworth Street, Granada Hills, near White Oak and Zelza, open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 to 9:30. And we have the hippie guru coming up in just a moment, Stephen Gaskin, after this from V-Dog.
The original vegetarian dog food from England. V-Dog now manufactured and available in the U.S. Vegan formula V-Dog. Complete protein nutrition with all essential amino acids, vitamins, and minerals for your dog to thrive. Winner of the PETA Prague Award for no animal ingredients, no animal testing, but test V-Dog on your dog, and if he or she doesn't love it, we'll refund your money. Benefits could be improved dental hygiene, digestion, weight management, healthier skin and coat, and increased energy. Not part of the pet food recall, V-Dog maintains the highest industry testing standards. Order V-Dog online at www.vdogfood.com or call 1-888-280-8364. Available in 5.5 or 33-pound bags, free shipping. Check the website for stores, including Whole Foods Sacramento. Call 1-888-280-8364. 8364 or visit vdogfood.com.
Yes, this music takes us back to the summer of love. This is the 40th anniversary, the celebration going this weekend. I've been hanging out at Golden Gate Park because I missed the original. I was in New York. Where was I? I don't even think I was in high school yet. When I got to high school, I marched against the Vietnam War. I actually attended Woodstock. But a lot was going on the West Coast, and right in the center of it all was Stephen Gaskin, considered the hippie guru at the time. And he has another book out now, a long list of books that he has written. Right now it's Caravan, the new revised and annotated edition that chronicles what was going back in the day. Welcome, Stephen. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Terrific. It's great to have you on today's program. And this is practically a history lesson. You know, we're on now on Air America and 27 radio stations around the country and XM, but also in San Francisco on, well, a station now that's called Green 960. It was the Quake and environmentally oriented, and you are so. And tell us, take us back to that time. It's 40 years ago, and you came to San Francisco, and you taught English and creative writing and semantics at San Francisco State College, and you were a student of S.I. Hayakawa. Somehow that name rings a bell from my studies back in New York. So you've received the first Right Livelihood Award, which is the alternative Nobel Prize. That was in 1980, and you even ran for president on the Green Party. Is that correct?
Yeah, the best thing about that was I got to get friends with Ralph. Nice. And I carried the state of Georgia.
All right, the state of Georgia.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't realize that was such a liberal bastion there. or maybe could they read in the state of Georgia? Wait, is the show on in Georgia? I better not insult an entire state here. No, so I can insult a state of mind. Meat eating.
Or there's some good rock and roll bands come out of Athens, Georgia.
That's true too. Yeah, definitely. So what was going on with you back then? So 40 years ago, San Francisco. What?
Well, when I got my invitation to speak at the 40th anniversary jam, it said if you were present at the first one, you were like old.
Yeah, it is amazing when you think 40 years ago. I think, I was at Woodstock. Somehow I still think of myself as a kid, though. I don't know. Maybe this is the generation that thinks that, huh?
Well, it could be. I'm 72, and I do.
Really? Wow. You sound very young still, Stephen. So.
Well, when I came to San Francisco, I came at first because I had almost used up my GI Bill. I was a combat Marine in Korea, and I was going to school on GI Bill. I'd almost used it up getting my AA, which these days they would call PTSD, I think.
What do those mean? Tell us for the people who don't know what the initials mean.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
I see, yeah. Okay.
That's how it takes you 6 years to get an AA. And then I went to San Francisco State, and I sat front row center and took my teachers to coffee and wore a sport coat and cut my hair and like that, and start, ended up teaching there. And as my mother says, the hippies copped your mind. It's true.
Well,
I loved them.
Yeah. How so? What was so attractive at the time?
My students suddenly all started sprouting long hair, and they came to me and said, "We like you, but you don't know what's going on." I don't. They said, "Well, here's what you got to do. We want you to go see some rock and roll, Grateful Dead, Airplane. We want you to see the Beatles movie, Hard Day's Night." So I saw that movie, and one of the things that just got to me was when John Lennon's in the railroad car with the old Englishman.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Give us a kiss, love." You know, I love that. But I also
So that's what spawned more of the Love Generation then? Just that, huh? You never know.
What I really liked was that these guys were not sponsored by any corporation, church, or government, and they went planetary on their own juice.
Right, yeah.
And that's what the young people were telling me about. And when I understood that, I thought I knew what they wanted. And it became obvious I couldn't teach in college only at all. I wanted to be with them, but I didn't want to have a desk between us.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so I started to, I went out, you know, tripped around a little myself, went to Belize and like that. And when I got back, I thought, I want to talk to the other people who are tripping. And so I went to Ian Grand, who ran the Experimental College at San Francisco State, and he gave me Monday night. And I did Monday night class for 2 or 3 years. And by the time it was really rolling, it was 1,500 people coming on a Monday night.
Wow.
And we discussed love, sex, death, politics, dope, the draft, various religions, you know. And I was doing it partly for just to run my own information out and bounce it off other people. And we wanted to know how much of these amazing things that were happening to us were subjective, and how much of it was objective.
Mm-hmm.
And so we studied religion, and we studied children's books, and we studied philosophy, and we just everything that might have an answer for us about that kind of stuff. And as it got bigger, the questions got more sophisticated, and we had a bigger base of knowledge we were working from.
And
one of the things we decided about, you know, was that we shouldn't be eating animals, you know. And I've been sort of a classical hippie pacifist, but in my old age, I find myself wondering how many Republicans would I trade for an elephant?
Mm.
and then I find myself thinking the only fair way is by the pound.
You know, I have a bumper sticker out right now that actually people can order on my website, goveganradio.com. The bumper sticker is "Eat Republicans, not animals."
I like that too.
Yeah. Well, I should send you one so you can have it, you know, on one of your vehicles there at the farm, right? One of your biodiesel or.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah. We're working a little on biodiesel. We're learning some about that. We got a few old ancient Mercedes and Volvos that can convert over pretty easy.
Oh, good. All right. So you came to a conclusion that you shouldn't be eating animals back in those days.
And
back
that we shouldn't be having a war, and that we shouldn't be going to some other people's country and blowing hell out of people who never did anything to us, and we were at it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood about war a little bit better. I wasn't a teenager. I'd already been to Korea and been in combat and carried dead and wounded friends back out of the rice paddies. I had an idea of what politics was ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That stood me in good stead since then.
Well,
and
what,
on the other hand, I just got me a baseball hat that says Marine on the front, and I put a peace button on the front of it and like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have my military record on my head when I was arguing politics.
Well, and who would have more credibility than somebody who saw war and made this decision, you know, like what,
yeah.
You know, and it's certainly what was happening in San Francisco affected the country because, you know, I became a peace advocate in high school. I got up and marched against the Vietnam War. We closed the Long Island Expressway. I was in Stuyvesant High School in New York.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we looked to San Francisco for a lot of, you know, the thinking that was coming out. Hippies, Love Generation. We have about 30 seconds right now, but I'd like you to stay with us through the break, and we'll talk a little more coming up. We're talking to Stephen Gaskin, who is considered a hippie guru, and we'll talk about the caravan that took him to Tennessee and the formation of the farm there and what's going on.
I would like to say one thing, just
sure.
As a matter of proportion.
Yeah.
In Malaya, guru is the name of a high school teacher.
Ah, Okay. Well, and you were teaching college though, right? So you were you were like supreme guru. Yeah, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, supported by your tax-deductible donations. You can do so online at goveganradio.org. And I thank you for listening. Please, don't eat animals.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat Stinks.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And that's what's happening here. Maybe to some people it ain't exactly clear, but but going vegan should be, and it's so easy these days, really. I mean, we have great vegan restaurants all around the country. From Fort Lauderdale, you are so lucky to have Sublime there, and we are so lucky that Sublime is a sponsor of this radio program supporting us, and that's how we do it, through advertising and sponsorship for vegan and cruelty-free products only, no animal ingredients, and your tax-deductible donations. You can make your checks payable to Go Vegan Radio, a project of 501c3 International Humanity Center. Well, you don't have to put all that on your check. Just Go Vegan Radio is fine. You can mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, 94147. Details are also at goveganradio.org. We will continue with Stephen Gaskin in a moment. Just want to remind you that if you're in the Los Angeles area, if you get stuck on the freeway, the Hollywood Freeway 101 at Hollywood Boulevard, just get off and go to Truly at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. Another one of those great vegan restaurants. If you have friends who crave sushi, well, you don't have to have fish in your sushi. Head on over to Truly with just a wonderful menu, breakfast, lunch, dinner, from pancakes and chicken. The potato salad is delicious, and you know, just you'll love it. There's a fried chicken alternative there that's totally delicious, and no animal products at Truly Vegan, which is a wonderful restaurant. Also, thanks to all of the sponsors on this program, Veginate, and V-Dog Dog Food Farm Sanctuary with Veg for Life and its global warming campaign, Sunshine Burger, and Nutru giving us Omega Zen 3, the alternative to fish oils, because fish oils deplete the oceans, and also Follow Your Heart in Canoga Park, another wonderful restaurant. So definitely make sure you check them out. And also go to the website. I'm going to have a Gandhi's birthday party on October 6th. So go to goveganradio.org. You can see all the details right there. And right now we're celebrating the Summer of Love 40 years ago this weekend. I've been hanging out in Golden Gate Park, but Stephen Gaskin isn't there. He's left us, and he went on to form the farm, and there was a caravan that headed out from San Francisco. He has a book out, a new book, Caravan, the new, revisited, and annotated edition. And so, Stephen, tell us, back then at the Summer of Love, you had, didn't you have preachers coming to study the hippies? Wasn't that what was going on?
That's what started the caravan. Preachers came to San Francisco studying the hippies, and I was the only hippie who got to talk to them. There was cops and social workers and like that. I told them that they didn't have to change business. We were having a spiritual crisis, and they were in the right business. And boy, preachers love it when you tell them they're relevant.
That they're relevant, huh? Yeah. So what was their motivation to study the hippies? What were they thinking?
They were happening in all their small towns across the country.
Ah.
They came to San Francisco to see what was happening.
Why is everybody's hair long? Why is everybody's hair growing long? And why are the tie-dye shirts out and all of that, right?
Right, all that.
Ah, okay.
So they liked me when I talked to them and told them that, you know, we were really pretty nice people, actually. And they set me up in a speaking tour in 42 states.
So this was a number of school buses in that? Was that what it was?
Well, the day we left from San Francisco, we had 25 school buses.
Wow.
And when we came back off the caravan, we had 50.
Wow. Amazing.
We'd take up 20 miles of freeway.
Really? Wow.
We were like a giant organism in the freeway veins of the country, and there was no penicillin for us yet.
Fortunately, well, if there would have been, they would have tested it on animals, and it wouldn't have worked. So, you know, so what led you to Tennessee and the farm?
People were nice there. When we went around the country, we got back to San Francisco. The scene was going decadent in the city. Methadrine and heroin and cocaine had arrived, and we were really, you know, plain old psychedelic hippies. We weren't into the bad dope.
Mm-hmm. And marijuana smokers at the time.
Yeah,
yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
part of the movement, right?
We found the people out in the middle of the country were pretty nice, and Anoka, Minnesota was really nice, and it was kind of amazing. We pulled in there with that bunch of buses, and the cops come up and say, "Well, you're going to need to gas up. There's a couple of gas stations here, and there's one over there. You're going to need grocery stores, and here's where you can dump your holding tanks." And they just treated us like that.
Hmm.
It was beautiful. It was like they said, "Oh," they didn't say, "Ah, hippies." They said, "Oh, here's 400 people going to spend money in this little town."
Ah, great.
But they were very good to us. And then Nashville was good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came to Tennessee thinking that Nashville was wired for sound about as good as San Francisco. And there wasn't quite as bad a signal-to-noise ratio.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But we noticed out in the middle of the country, you couldn't tell the Hells Angels from the Hare Krishnas.
And you were in Summertown, Tennessee. That was your...
Summertown, Tennessee.
Yeah, and the farm started...
I feel so pastoral. I live on Apple Orchard Lane in Summertown.
Yes, it is pastoral, yeah. And the farm started producing, what was it, tofu? And what were...
Well, we wanted to have that kind of stuff, so we started our own tofu dairy and soy dairy and stuff, and we make... tofu, and we make frozen soybean yogurt ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And we have all the stuff we need here. Like the first 13 years, we were completely vegan, and we have a set of statistics from then that are quoted in other people's books about how that the vegetarian kids were a little light the first couple of years, and then caught up with the ones that were not vegetarians, and it was good in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the farm has the book publishing company with a lot of vegan cooking books and health books and environmental books. And
The farm is, we've changed quite a bit now. One of our cottage industries now is the one where we build a Geiger counter, which we sell to cops and Waymasters and people like that. And when the Twin Towers got bombed, we had to put more people in the Geiger counter company. Because so many cops wanted ours because they were the state of the art.
Really? Wow. See, we have 1 minute left. The website is thefarm.org, thefarm.org. And you have a website too, stephengaskin.com, right?
Right.
StephenGaskin, .com. And so we have like 20 seconds, 30 seconds. What might you impart to our listeners?
Try to be real good. It helps in the long run.
Yeah, and being real good, I think, is not eating animals and being concerned for the environment.
Not eating animals and not picking on little third world countries that can't defend themselves.
Right, and let us be kind to each other as we celebrate the summer of love on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and this is what it's about. Is there a more lifestyle related to love than being vegan? I don't think so. So thanks for...
It's got to be one of the harmlessest things in the world.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Stephen. And thanks for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please stop eating and wearing animals.